What's going on, Raptors Nation? As we get this underway, it's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Toronto. You're listening to episode 3 of the Raptors Rundown, the podcast you listen to if all you want is Raptors basketball. I'm Chris Charisma, your host, and as always, I won't be doing this alone. My guest co-host this week is Abish from thetsports.com. Thanks for being on the show, Abish.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, now we've got quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to try our best to get through all the topics in the usual 20 to 25 minutes the show usually goes for. If you guys don't already know, the Raptors were able to grab a win in their latest game against the Bobcats last night, which was a huge game. But let's rewind a little bit and backtrack to about 3 games ago. I think it was just before the Denver game. Jay Triano finally ends up making significant changes to the lineup. Part of the reason was because Turk reportedly had a stomach flu, which I want to get into, but we'll save that for later. But ultimately, Triano takes DeMar DeRozan and Hedo Turkoglu out of the starting five and inserts Sonny Weems and Antoine Wright. So we'll start off by asking this. What did you think about the changes in general?
I think it was positive. Whether or not this sticks to the future, I think it's smart to have it, especially Turkoglu coming off the bench. I think basically this is sort of how his career would be transitioning eventually, sort of being that super sixth man, instant offense guy off the bench. I think the Raptors right now have enough offense on the floor to start a game, and I think either starting Weems or Wright throws a bit more balance from the start. Also, I think what it does is it ups their intensity from the get-go, provides a bit of a defensive stability. If you just even look at the game versus Charlotte, I think the Raptors gave up something like 18 points in the first quarter, and I know Charlotte isn't really an offensive juggernaut, but it was a good start, so I think it was a positive move for sure.
Totally agree with you on in terms of the defensive aspect of things. Just the moves, Sonny Weems and Wright for DeRozan and Turkoglu, did those moves reflect something you would have done? Like, let's say you're Jay Triano, would that turn out to be your starting five as well?
I think so. At least going with Wright, I think one of the key issues that the Raptors have is making sure that they get off to good starts in the first and the third quarter and basically stop teams, especially in the third quarter. You'll notice that the Raptors have had issues all season long stopping runs in the third quarter, and mm-hmm. I think basically one of the ways to really do that is to put someone in like Wright in there who can sort of, again, stabilize the defense and get things sort of sorted out while the offense eventually takes care of itself, because generally what you'll see happening with the Raptors in the third quarter is that they'll the opposition will go on a bit of a run, and it'll start piling up, and then the Raptors will sort of respond by taking loads of long-range jump shots, and things just sort of mount from there, and but before the fourth quarter starts, the game's almost out of hand.
You mentioned the third quarter, which is a good segue, because, you know, with a new lineup to begin games comes a new lineup to begin the third quarters, and everyone knows about the Raptors and their difficulties with the third quarter. Ever since they deployed the Calderon, Weems, Wright, Bosch, Barnyanyan lineup, you know, they've actually been able to do quite well after halftime. They've won 2 of the last 3 third quarters. The only one they ended up losing was to Charlotte, and that was only by 2 points. And you know, you mentioned the jump shots and whatnot, but now it seems as though the meltdowns are happening in the fourth quarter, particularly when it gets down to 5 minutes left in the game. Do you think the recent lineup changes have any effect on that new trend?
No, I'm not sure on that. I think in situations like there, basically what you really got to do is just tough it up. I mean, this is really what sort of separates the also-rans from the people who are really going to contend in the playoffs. And, you know, the Raptors aren't a very young team, but they're still relatively inexperienced when you have guys mm-hmm. like DeRozan and Weems out there, right? So they're not really battle-hardened yet to sort of deal with that kind of adversity in high-pressure situations in the fourth quarter. So, you know, if anything, it's a good learning experience. So, unfortunately, it's the end of the season. You're fighting for a playoff spot, but sometimes you got to play right through it and lean a little bit more on the veterans. And that's when you lean on the guys like Chris Bosh and, whether or not Turkoglu plays the fourth quarter, that's another matter.
Yeah. I do really want to touch into the Turkoglu situation, but we'll save that for a little bit later on. Another thing I want to get into is something the media was all over last week, like it was the latest fad. The word the words laziness or lazy and effort was being thrown around a lot all over the place. There was an article on NBA.com by Scott Howard Cooper, which basically blasted Andrea Bargnani, calling him lazy. And then not even a day or two later, there was an article in the Toronto Star where first-year Raptor and second-year NBA player Sonny Weems was quoted for saying, there are some players on this roster who are just lazy. Now, there are so many ways we can dive into this. But let's start with Bargnani here. This whole laziness thing, is it a product of his calm demeanor and steady personality, or does he really have issues with effort?
I think it could be a little bit of both. I mean, first off, I don't know if it's a bit disconcerting when you got like the new guy like Weems the rookie calling out one of your best players as being lazy. But I think they're at the point in the season where you got to do what you have to do to get this guy moving, right? And you got to light a fire under him somehow. I think the thing that's a little bit perplexing about Andrea is that if he just didn't have the ability or the athleticism to play any sense of possible defense or even rebound, I think Raptors fan could sort of accept what he was. But, you know, when the spirit moves him, the guy can jump. He has the size, and, you know, if he wants to, he can pull down 10 to 12 rebounds a night. And, you know, I mean, realistically, Raptors fans aren't asking him to do that. I think, you know, though, when you're grabbing 3 to 5 rebounds a night, that's when it becomes a little bit inexcusable. I think if you look at someone like Andrea, you'd sort of equate him in the league to somewhere in between, maybe like an Okur between him and that and a Nowitzki, and that's fine. Those guys will give you at least 8 boards a game, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Raptors fans aren't asking the world of him, but, you know, you just got to up that intensity a little bit. And I think if he does that, helps Bosch out a little bit more. He doesn't have to bang himself up, you know, trying to grab 15, 16 rebounds, and he can focus on the offense and staying fresh in those fourth quarters.
Yeah, it seems as though when Bargnani does well, the Raptors do well. You know Matt Devlin, he comes up with crazy stats, and he has that stat where I think it's when Bargnani has 6 or more rebounds, they have this and this record. Now, the team in general, it's not like the rest of the roster is safe from the proverbial crosshairs. Each and every one of the Raptors have been targeted for showing a lack of effort. I mean, when you have practically a rookie in Sonny Weems calling the team out for effort, you know it's a relevant issue. I mean, what's the problem here, and how do we fix it? More importantly, is this a case where the team isn't talented enough to keep up with some other teams, or do we have a bunch of NBA players who lack the motivation, or is it somewhere in between?
Well, I think it's a little bit. I mean, from a talent perspective, the Raptors are actually better off than a lot of teams, but they just get outworked, it seems. I mean, how many times have you seen it? The Raptors will go up the floor. They'll have a great offensive possession. They'll move the ball around offensively. This team plays very well. They're definitely in the top half of the league in that respect, but immediately they'll sort of just go down. They'll miss an assignment. And something like that is, you know, either it's focus, I don't know if it's focus, laziness, or the personnel is just, they're just not interested in playing the elite level of defense you need to be a successful club in the league. So I think it's a mixture of everything. But, you know, in the end, it comes down to the players, and if they're not getting the message, then you got to find guys who can.
Now, while we're in the midst of, you know, such a touchy and controversial topic, let's stay inside this box just for a few more minutes. Let's move from laziness to individual agendas. Recently, general manager Brian Colangelo came out in the media to reveal that he feels that there are certain players on this team with individual agendas, not thinking team first. Abish, I want to know who you think Colangelo may have been talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give Colangelo credit in a couple of respects. One, for calling out the team, and I think that really that is more than anything a sense of desperation, because, you know, you have a team that was competing here for the fourth seed about a month and a bit ago, and now they're fighting just to stay in the playoffs. So obviously things are a little bit desperate right now, so he's got to do that. At the same time, he didn't really call out any individual names, so he might have saved a little bit of face there with the players in the locker room. But it's difficult. You're right, because, I mean, any number of Raptors could have agendas. I mean, even someone like Chris Bosh, I know. I mean, Bosh has been bringing it pretty much every night this season, and he's really put the team on his back. But, I mean, anyone who's entering a free agency year has got some sort of agenda, you know, whether they like it or not. I mean, you could think it's Turkoglu's agenda, but, I mean, who knows what's going on with that guy, right? I mean, it's becoming almost crystal clear that his agenda was to grab as much money as he could and run. And, I mean, even someone like Jarrett Jack kind of got in a little bit of trouble with the fans recently when he was pouting when he got again moved off the starting lineup. So who knows what his agenda is. So it's difficult. There's little cliques and little groups sort of going off in their own directions, and you hope they can pull it together in time.
Everyone has their suspicions. I have mine as well. You mentioned Colangelo, you know, doing this as a way to fire up the team. I'm curious about what kind of impact or effect this has on the roster. I mean, you could argue that as a Raptor player, your employer just basically threw you under the bus here. Do you think, you did say it was kind of a way of Colangelo getting the team going. Do you agree with that method, though, or do you think he could have gone about it a different way?
I think something must have come to his attention for him to say something like that. At the same time, he sort of protected the players to the extent that he didn't individually call any names out, but I mean, I guess desperate times call for desperate measures right now. I think the players still relatively hold Colangelo in relatively high regard, and he's still seen as one of the more higher profile GMs in the league, but I think generally maybe Colangelo and especially Toronto may be guilty of just placating to the players all season long, especially, you know, someone like Ahidiou Turkoglu who hasn't showed up since he came into camp. And, you know, I think things had to change.
Now, obviously, in retrospect, it seems what Colangelo said in the media could have played a role in turning things around. The Raptors have been fairly competitive in the last three games, finally pulling out a win against Charlotte. So it seems to have maybe motivated them. One player who the fans have felt the need to constantly motivate is Ahidiou Turkoglu. We've mentioned him already a couple times on the show. Let's start off with that Denver game. He didn't play in that game due to a stomach flu, which he's had already a couple times this year. The fact that he isn't already sponsored by Pepto-Bismol is a bit shocking. Oh, what turned out to be even more surprising was the fact that he was caught partying on nights he was supposed to be too sick to play. Now, I don't know if you heard about this, but if you did, what were your initial thoughts? And, I mean, does this just add dirt to the ever-growing disappointment that is Ahidiou Turkoglu?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first off, good on the Raptors fans or whoever outed this guy after that game. I think Raptors Nation really had enough of what this guy's been doing all game. If you look at his body language on the bench, I mean, you just even look at those commercials he does on TV, it sort of just reflects the whole sort of laissez-faire attitude that he's had all season long. I really don't know where to start with this guy. The season's been a blatant highway robbery from the beginning, and I'd like to say he took the money and ran, but, I mean, that requires a little bit of effort even. I mean, it looks like he took the money and just sort of slacked off, so...
Yeah.
I know, he's just made himself a target, and I think the thing with Turkoglu is, I mean, the players know it, his teammates know it as well. He's sort of let them down this year, and I think, and I saw maybe a little bit in the Charlotte game, especially on the defense, he was running a little bit more actively. It looked like he was trying a little bit harder right now, because I think, you know, the only opportunity for him to salvage the season or save a little face is for him to really put out and like just shut up and try as hard as he can for the rest of the season, because it doesn't take long for his own teammates to turn on him.
Yeah, I mean, with all that said, I mean, you know, we've gone on Turkoglu today, but we're currently in crunch time right now. The playoffs are just around the corner, and we are fighting for that playoff spot. Now, let's forget about his contract, the disappointment, let's forget about all that for a second. Personally, what are your expectations for Ahidiou Turkoglu, not only for season play, but the playoffs as well, if we make it?
Well, I mean, it really depends on how the Raptors really want to utilize him. I think he's best suited to come off the bench. If he does that and he's focused on that, he can be a great asset to the team, because if anything, he provides good ball movement in the backcourt there, especially when you've got someone like Jarrett Jack running the point. You know, he's more of a penetrator. He's not really much of a guy who creates offense like Calderon, so it's good to have Turkoglu back there creating the offense. And still, in the fourth quarter, he can make a difference. He does hit the occasional big three-pointer, and again, he can spread the floor, and he can do a lot of things. So, again, if I'm Ahidiou Turkoglu, I focus basically on, you know, if I'm not going to play 30 minutes, I'll make sure I play as an effective 20 to 25 minutes as I can.
In my eyes, Turk, you know, he has to earn some of that contract, and if you know, some people joke around, yeah, he will show up. He'll show up in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in the last 2 minutes, but he really has to start earning that paycheck. One guy who isn't just earning his paycheck but is also working towards another is Chris Bosh. Now, people have gotten on his case, you know, the turnovers, the rebounding numbers have dropped, the scoring has dropped just a bit, taking more jump shots. What are your thoughts on his game, where it's at now, and where it needs to be if the Raptors look to, you know, eventually find a way into the playoffs?
Well, I think versus Charlotte, he sort of brought, a good inside-outside game versus them. I think, I don't know if there's still some lingering effects from the leg injury, but obviously there is something that's a little bit off because he's taking a lot more jump shots than he is driving to the net. And he really is, you know, when he drives to the net, there's not many power forwards or bigs who can stop, and he can pretty much go around them at will. So, and definitely that's something he wants to do because it's a much higher percentage shot for him. When he misses those jump shots, those fadeaways or just straight up jump shots, it's not like there's Raptors that are ready to grab the rebound, right? Andrea is generally not there grabbing those rebounds. So when he misses it, he misses it. And if he sometimes, you know, goes to the basket and misses it, at least he has the chance to sort of follow up on that, grab the board, do something else. So again, you just sort of want to see him put it on the floor a little bit more, attack a little bit. And I think the Raptors always do better when he does that.
Yeah, I mean, if the Raptors are going to make that strong push towards the postseason, Chris Bosh is going to have to play at an extremely high level. Now, with that playoff stretch basically well underway, let's quickly take a look at what games the Raptors have in the upcoming week. This Wednesday, the LA Clippers visit the ACC, and then there's a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday. They're at Philly and then come back home to take on Golden State. So the Clippers, Sixers, and then the Warriors. So I ask these two questions to every guest that comes in. How many wins out of those three do the Raptors need, and how many do you actually see them getting?
Oh, absolutely. They need to at least be taking a couple of those games right now when you're going down the stretch. I think they'll win at least a couple of those games. The problem with the Raptors this season is just the general unpredictability. You know, often they play to the level of their opponents. You can beat the Lakers one night and then, you know, lose to the Sixers on the road the next night. So it's hard to predict. It's hard to predict with these guys, but you know, if they show the effort that they showed in Charlotte and they sharpen up those areas of the game, then there's no reason they can't pull off at least two of those games easily. And you know, I think three is definitely in the mix.
Yeah, if you had to, the unpredictability aside, if you had to pretty much guarantee a win, where would it come from, the Clippers, Sixers, or the Warriors?
I would say the Clippers, only because they play maybe a little bit more of a conventional system. You know, I never, when the Raptors are on the road, you never know what can happen there. So there's no guarantees there, and sometimes they do have problems playing against teams like the Warriors, who play that run and gun style right there. So that always lends itself towards an upset. So if anything, I think focusing tonight on the Clippers is the most important thing right now.
Totally agree. I think these next three are absolute must-wins if the Raps want to not only catch Charlotte, but just even stay in the playoff race, try to stay ahead of Chicago. Last but not least, we'll wrap up this episode by giving out the weekly Raptor Factor Award. Every week, I have a guest come onto the show and give me their one Raptor they've enjoyed watching the most in the last week, or which Raptor they feel has been significant in the grand scheme of things. So with the last three games in mind against Denver, Miami, and Charlotte, Abish, who's been your Raptor Factor?
Well, I think I'll actually go with Bargnani on this one. You know, Bosh has been struggling just a little bit, but I think the key with Bargnani, especially since he's been called out, is not that he's just averaging 15 points a game, but he's actually been averaging close to 10 boards the last three contests. He seems to be getting himself a bit more involved since being called out, and even though his shooting's a little bit off of late, I think that, you know, when he boards the ball and contests a shot, it takes, again, a huge load off of Chris Bosh and lets Bosh sort of focus on the scoring. And like you said before, the Raptors are a different team when Andrea grabs rebounds. It's really as simple as that. So, again, it's good. And if they're really going to be making any noise in the playoffs and trying to do anything in the first round, they need Andrea not just to score, but they need at least, you know, anywhere from 8 to 11 boards from this guy.
There we have it. That wraps up another, I think, very productive and informative episode of the Raptors Rundown. It took a little bit to get underway due to technical difficulties, so I got to thank you again for the patience. Episode 3 is in the books, and I have you to thank for that.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, your website, where they can reach you, the Twitter, everything?
Sure. The website is www.t.sports.com. It's a sporting blog focusing on a lot of the Toronto teams. Right now there's a little bit of focus on the Raptors in basketball, writing a lot about them, but also going to be focusing on the Leafs and Jays. But it's got more of a basketball angle as well. You can find me at Twitter at t.sports, no hyphen there, just t.sports. And email, you can reach me at feedback@t.sports.com.
All right, there you go. That's perfect. Definitely check that site out. Again, it's t.sports.com. I have the Twitter, have you on Twitter. Saw that you were going to write an article on adjusted plus minus and all that. So look forward to that. Check that out. Again, Abish, thanks for finding the time to be on the Raptors Rundown. And thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. I want to end up doing a weekly listeners mailbag segment kind of thing in the future, so don't hesitate to send in questions you'd like answered by myself or whichever guest I have in. Make sure to catch our Raptors play tomorrow at 7 p.m. on TSN2 or get a ticket and watch them live at the ACC. Should be a good one. In the meantime, I'm going to go enjoy the rest of this nice day in the T-Dot. So until next time, again, Abish, thank you, and this has been the Raptors Rundown. Peace.